Nancy Harris marks her return to the Gate Theatre with a new play commissioned by Druid. It's called The Beacon. Maeve is a celebrated artist and has moved from suburban Dublin to her holiday cottage off the coast of West Cork. But when her estranged son and his new young wife arrive to stay, she's faced with some difficult questions. That's the kind of outline of what's happening here. Sophie Gorman has been to see the play, The Beacon, that is, and she joins me in studio now. Just tell me a little bit about Nancy Harris, first of all, Sophie.
Well, this is her debut with Druid, as you said. She was actually approached by the director, Gary Hines, a few years ago. And they said that Gary Hines said she wanted to work with Nancy, and this is the play that's come out of that. Actually, this is quite the moment for Nancy Harris because she has another play which has just opened in London called Two Ladies, which is about the two wives of two presidents. So she is certainly a very hot ticket right
now. Two American presidents?
the two wives. I think one is an American president and one is possibly a French president. It's a play starring.
It's contemporary.
It's very much a contemporary play, and it stars Zoe Wanamaker, so big names, London. And as you mentioned, Nancy Harris was most recently on the Gate stage because she did an adaptation of Red Shoes. But she broke through, I think it was in 2012, with No Romance, which was a play that was on first in the Peacock, and that was her first. She won the Stuart Parker Trust Award for that. So she's very much a playwright that people are watching, and she has broken already to the international stage.
All right. How familiar would she be with the West Cork aspect of this, which I believe you might be quite familiar with?
Well, a summer is spent in this exact spot of West Cork, certainly. The island location is unnamed, but it's an island near Hare Island, which is named. So it would be around Skull, Skibbereen, the very wilds of West Cork, where everybody knows everybody's business, everybody's involved. It's a very insular community, but every summer there are these hordes of Cork and Dublin people who come down to summer houses or rent houses. And apparently Nancy Harris did spend some years living there with these communities, so spent longer than I just had my summers there. But it is very much that the whole community is invaded by these summer folk who then cause all kinds of eruptions and then go home to Dublin and Cork and leave behind whatever
disarray. But I presume too the attitude of the community might be, yes, they do that, but they also provide us with the income that gets us through the
They're
long,
a vital
cold
resource,
winter.
Yeah, but there is the winters are much colder and lonelier places. This is set in summer, which in West Cork can be a mixture of seasons, but we get many seasons in this. The set design here is by Druid regular Francis O'Connor. We're in very much a cottage, but it is a cottage which has not been short of money because it's those really high ceilings with bare beams and bare stone walls. It's a place with, and we have this beautiful, incredible panoramic view out, looking out at the sea, which we also hear through reeds and rushes. And James F. Ingalls does the lighting, which is, we see all kinds of day and night.
So the type of light that you might get in West Cork and the
shifting. Those incredible
and
sunrises,
light.
That fluidity, which in this play actually is as fluid as the sexuality, which we learn about the characters in the play.
All right, well, let's talk a bit more about the characters then. Jane Brennan's Maeve, an unusual name, but is this kind of part of the
artist? She's an artist,
set?
Sean, yeah. So she's come down. This is not actually her house. It was the house of her former husband, Michael, who we learn quite early on that he has been, he mysteriously died 10 years ago. And we learn this because into Maeve's world, where she's now deconstructing her house and putting up glass walls all round. She wants to be on display, as her very angry, bitter son says. She wants to be living in a glass box because I think she wants anything that anyone wants to throw at her. She's somebody who everyone is suspicious of in relation to this death, but she's putting herself right in the middle of the whispering and the twitching curtains. She's putting herself into that world and challenging them by saying, OK, I'm here, take your best shot.
All right, and the angry, bitter son is?
That is Colm, played by Marty Ray, another Druid regular. And he's arrived out of the blue with his very young wife, who nobody knew he had. His mother didn't even know he'd got married. But he arrives with Bonnie Ray Gray, who's an American actress making her Druid debut. And they've arrived for their honeymoon in this unusual cottage. They have nowhere to stay because the cottage is literally just one room because all the walls are being knocked down. So there's instantly they arrive. There are fructions. This is not the great reunion of happiness and joy.
And to what? How involved has the son been in the period between the father's death and now?
It has been a period of great silence and bitterness. There have been some contacts, but not enough. Like he had this assumption or this belief that his mother was afraid of flying, so he never has invited her. He hasn't seen her. There's been a...
All right. I think we're kind of, that's, we're really only in the setup stage. How does it develop? How does the story move on?
Well, so the idea then, into this world, we have a neighbour, a local lad called Donal, who has been, he is almost the son in this. He's the only person that Babe shows any maternal instinct. He's played by Ian Lloyd Anderson, and he is the typical Cork. I mean, he's straight from the market in Skibbereen. His accent is incredible and his performance is incredible. He is a very challenged young man because he is a gay man in West Cork, and he is, his only love in his life was Colm, the Marty Ray character. And he's lost that, but he lives with hope, and hope is a devil when you're carrying a little blade of hope.
So obviously there's a kind of thriller aspect to this, in that there's the mystery around the father who died those years previously. But what else is going
on? I don't want to give too much away, because this is very much a psychological thriller in ways, as much as it is a portrait of a family unravelling, because we see very much, we get to learn about why this family has unravelled all that time before, 10 years ago. But we also see it unravelling now. And there is another mystery that happens during the play that does it, that wonderful thing in an audience. It produces an audible shock, a gasp at one point, which is a lovely sense of...
So obviously you don't want to tell us what
I don't want
that
to tell
is.
You too much, but yeah. Yes, it's about... people desperately trying to find out who they are in that world of relationships that are fragmented. A son trying to connect with his mother, but a son who is a bristling outsider and angry with everyone, and unfortunately never will overcome that.
What's the tone then of this psychological thriller? Is there quite a tense feeling?
It is quite, no, this is the thing that Nancy Harris is incredibly good at, is she captures the sense of an Irish sense of humour, that it's deliciously dark, it's bitingly acerbic, it's very arch. And so people talk in a way, there's a lot of talking. In fact, if I was to say that I have some small issues with elements of this, there's a lot of extrapolation, there's a lot of talking and very not enough action. I think we as audiences need to be given the trust that we can interpret situations. We don't need to have everything explained to us, and that does happen. But her humour, it's regularly pitted with humour, that you find yourself laughing at the darkest of moments.
And is that humour divided up evenly, if you like, between the characters, or is there one or other character that carries most of the job?
It's very dry humour. So it's between, actually, I would say, as most of them have a moment of the humour, because we have the Bonnie character played by Ray Gray, who is this very bubbling, she's very vivacious, she's an American, her head is turned by being in this famous artist's house, she's a fangirl, and she is a loving, so she and between her bubbling effervescence and then Jane Brennan's Babe, her dry, dry, unemotional, she's not just deadpan, she's almost dead inside. Yeah. So the combination of the two produces some nice humorous moments.
There's a podcast element to this, or a podcast element in the story.
This is obviously very contemporary, because we're dealing with a part of the country in Ireland where there has been, and in the last 20 years, another unsolved murder of Sophie Tuscan de Plantier, and obviously a very famous and successful podcast came out of that. So this is
West
tapping
Cork.
Into West Cork. This is tapping into that. And for me, this was an element that we... It was very unnecessary. We have a young man who's the podcaster. His name is Ray Dan Monaghan. He comes in at a certain point, and I found he was almost cartoonly drawn in the way that he behaved. He
and is that in the writing, do you think?
I think it is in the writing. I think his performance was fine, but I don't think he was necessary. I don't think we needed this. He provides Bonnie's character, the American, with a way to get revenge on something that happens in it. And that it was all a bit pat. We don't always get revenge as quickly as...
You didn't need that.
I didn't think we needed it. I also felt that as a podcaster, he didn't have any empathy or interest in other people. And my understanding of podcasters is it's normally suitable that you need to be able to go and sit and have a pint with local people and get the story out of them.
What about the other performances and the other characters? Who stood out?
As I mentioned, Ian Lloyd Anderson, he was, as Donal, there was such beautiful emotional outbursts from him that it was impossible not to feel for him. He had incredibly tender moments, and actually he produced a tenderness in Jane Brennan's Babe that was otherwise lacking. And I thought Bonnie, Ray Gray. I thought she gave a very strong, she was very loving at the beginning, and we fell for this young girl who'd come into this world. Unfortunately, her character was diminished somewhat by the arrival of the podcast chap, but it her performance was great, and she's certainly one to watch.
Overall, any caveats or what were your caveats?
Well, no, I think the podcast, and I just think that it could have been edited slightly, that we needn't need quite so much explanation. I think it is good to give audiences moments of quietness, moments of air. But I did think it was brilliantly paced, it's a very entertaining watch, which is not to diminish it in any way. As a night at the theatre, it was very entertaining.
All right, that's Sophie Gorman speaking to us about Nancy Harris's new play, The Beacon. It's running at the Dublin Theatre Festival. It's a Druid production, running at the Dublin Theatre Festival, and you can find out at the Gate Theatre, and you can find out full details on dublintheatrefestival.ie. And so to tonight's competition, to see the Irish premiere of Vivaldi's Story of a Complicated Royal Marriage, Griselda, by Irish National Opera. And the production, the tickets we have are for the performance at the Solstice Arts Centre in Navan on Saturday the 19th of October. And the prize includes dinner and an overnight stay at the nearby Newgrange Hotel. So for your chance to win, tell us please which of these is also a Vivaldi composition, Faust or Four Seasons. Text the answer to 51551 with your name and address, and it'll announce the winner at the end of tonight's show.